for the government behind it as well.
You just mentioned buses, and actually I want to go on that, because recently it was in the news that some buses were being cut, bus lines. What is your opinion?
Not in Brussels. Really want to stress
see,
on
I
that.
I only watch the Dutch the
well, that's, news. That's true. Flanders. So in Flanders, so the mobility and public transport is regional. So Flanders has the LAN, a regional public transport. In Brussels, we have MEVB, which is our regional transport. And MEVB, actually, we have added new lines. We have several new lines, bus lines. We have augmented the frequency of the bus lines, of the tram lines, of the metro lines. We have created new tram lines. We are still doing work, for example, tram line for Neder-Overijmeek. So we have invested a lot in our public transport. And you note, and it's really, okay, perhaps I'm a bit chauvinist and I love my city, but I think we can be proud of the quality of public transport in Brussels, even if it can be better. And so if I follow, I also follow the debate in Flanders, where there's 3,000 bus stops being cut,
it's
where
the
lines being reduced, and it's making me angry. I have to admit it, because I do understand that they're reorganizing. Sometimes need to reorganize, but if you reorganize without providing the budget to increase the offer, it is really difficult, and people are losing their connections. And we need to have a country in which people can rely on public transport. That you go out and that you know, if I go out, there will be a bus. In Brussels, it's maximum 15 minutes. And we really want to stress on that. If on a Sunday night, I live in Ganswoord, which is one of the communes bits on the outside of Brussels. So I was really far away a place. I just saw my bus passing. I said, okay, I'll take the next one. It was 15 minutes and I was complaining. And I was sending a text to a friend of mine. And I say, just missed the bus. I have to wait for 15 minutes. And she said, are you kidding me?
You have just an hour.
She said, you have a bus every 15 minutes on a Sunday somewhere in a lost space in Brussels. And two, she said, there's a signing indicating the time and you can rely on it. And those are really important elements. But this is what you need to have to give people the comfort to rely on public transport. And if we want to have fewer traffic jams in Brussels, we also need people in Flanders and Wallonia to change their mobility habits. And so for me, it's important that people in Flanders can use public transport, because a lot of it's 400,000 cars every day coming in Brussels, going out the evening. So if those people don't have an alternative, we have a problem. So we do have park and rides. We made them for free and going to take profit from it to make some publicity. We have free park and rides in Brussels. They're not well known, so that's why I say so. But if people in Flanders cannot rely on public transport, in Brussels we also have a problem. So it's something that actually kind of makes me angry. It costs a lot of money. I know that in Brussels it's 1/6 of our regional budget. It is a lot of money, but with result. And so I can only plead to the Flemish government, please do invest in this public transport, because every euro we put in it, you gain 2 euros back, because the economy flourishes, because people can get around, people go to bars, to concerts, they move around more. So public transport is also an actor of economical wealth. And so please do invest in it, because we really need it in Brussels as well.
Actually, you changed my mind a little bit about Brussels, because as someone from Flanders, we always complain about the traffic when you enter Brussels and so on. That's always a big topic. We always complain about that. But while Flanders is actually cutting down buses, Brussels is investing in mobility heavily. And what is also always a big issue in Flanders in September, at the start of the year, is the buses for the special needs children who sometimes sit for 2 hours or 3 hours to go to school. How is that even possible in a country like Belgium, I think?
It's good to say, because Brussels is often seen, and it's always a capital of a country, but we're often seen as we're in the news when there's problems. And so we don't get the news when things are going well. And so it's nice to have podcasts to say there are problems in Brussels.
I definitely changed my mind about Brussels.
We still have work in Brussels, but we do have also good things. And for example, half of the people in Brussels don't own a car. So the car possession is really low.
So they rely on public transport.
They rely on public transport. And so most families in Brussels, they do not own a car. And it's not because they're all ecological cyclists people. It's often because of the cost. The car costs a lot of money, and not everybody can afford it. It takes space. You need a parking space. Yeah. So it is often a choice of an economical choice. So public transport is also a way of offering mobility choices to a population that doesn't always have the money to have a car, and making people being because they in Flanders say my car is my freedom. I hate that expression because how is it freedom that you depend on an expensive big metal instrument to get around? For me, real freedom is I can leave my house and I will get anywhere by bike, by bus, by public transport, perhaps by car, yeah, without being dependent on having to buy my own personal car. This is, for me, it's a strange way to look at freedom for me. But I can understand for many people, it is the only way to get around. And
exactly,
that's
there's
reality.
No alternative. Yeah.
And so in that way, I think Brussels is a good example also for Flanders, although we do have issues, we do have problems, but it is it's something I'm proud to defend. And the main traffic jams are coming for people coming to Brussels. And I love people coming to Brussels. We want people to work here. We want people to visit us. But if they often can come by train or
leave their car in the
park and ride, it's better. But we really need reliable trains, more trains. We need to have public transport in Flanders and Wallonia for that as well.
What I actually used last time when I came to Brussels, I parked on the outside of Brussels, and then I used a dot bike to enter. That was very convenient, actually.
That's parking, right?
Another question, do cities in Brussels and Belgium talk with other cities, for example, Antwerp? Do you talk with, for example, Antwerp? Because they have a very good mobility business with Velo, with the two operators as well. It seems to go good with their drop zones. When you implemented the drop zones, did you maybe reach out or try to learn from each other?
We do learn not only from within Belgium, but also from other capitals in Europe. So, for example, for the shared bikes system, we do have made an analysis what's happening in other capitals. I also often you visit other cities to see what are they doing, how are they doing. So you can learn a lot from one another. For example, if you talked about Antwerp, they also have a mobility as a service in Slim naar Antwerp. So we do learn from one another. I think Leuven, for example, has a pioneer in many, many aspects. It's a small city, but they are really far behind on circulation plans, on driving slower. So they really have inspired us a lot. Ghent as well has taken courageous measurements. Yeah. So we do see that the other cities are inspiring one another. And also Brussels was often not the front runner in those things. And now, for example, with 30 kilometers an hour, we had Amsterdam coming to visit Brussels to see how we've done it. And for us, Amsterdam, it's the Netherlands.
Have to be the first if you're the best. That's
So it's like, okay, this is new. Normally we go to Amsterdam to learn. And so that's important to have this energy. There's also this kind of certain competition also. What are other cities doing? Oh, if they can do it, we can do it. We need to be able. So that's a good thing. And I see all over Europe that capitals are really changing and that the mentality that we had in the 70s till the 90s, a city is where you work and you need to organize cars getting as quickly possible to the workplace and getting away. You say, but this is making it impossible for all the people to live there.
It was very car-centric. I think in the 70s, the not La Bourse, but before the Gemeentehuis, there was like a parking, actually.
We had the Grand Place.
Yeah, Grand Place used to be a parking.
In the 70s was a parking space. If you go there now, it's impossible to imagine. But the same before the Bourse. So it used to be a 2x2 car lane. And it was actually an action from citizens saying we cannot tolerate it anymore. It was 15 years ago. So what would we do? I was also an activist at that time. Wasn't yet elected or was just being elected. We went picnicking every Sunday in the middle of a street. And so it's a very nice action. And so it was very popular. So on a Sunday, we went picnicking before the Bourse. And so it became an action and to show, we can make this car free. And then politics actually had to follow. Everybody wants to claim to be the the mother or the father of that decision, but it was actually citizens claiming their streets.
That's really cool.
And so politics had to follow. They made it car-free. And the idea was just before the Bourse, but now it is a whole pedestrian zone in Brussels, which is one of the biggest pedestrian zones in Europe. Yes, and there's a lot of people, a lot of shops.
It's bars.
Really alive and kicking. And it used to be two car lanes, a lot of printing shops, and it was not a nice place to be, and so it really changed the city. But also, it made people in Brussels realize we as well can do it differently. We don't have to accept cars dominating every part of our city, and we can reclaim our streets. And that has become a very powerful movement in Brussels for citizens to speak up and to demand change,
and that and a better life.
And so we've seen that has triggered elements, and that we see more and more pedestrian zones coming up, and so we see what's happening in Brussels. If I talk to people from Paris, they're having the same movement.
Paris is doing a lot of investment as well.
So we see that it's not only in Brussels, but cities are reclaiming their public space, and I think it's a good thing.
Do you actually also have plans like in Paris of taxing the bigger trucks? I think in Paris they will tax the bigger trucks. That also had a lot of pro and a lot of people against it. It's always like that, right?
It is. So cars are becoming bigger and bigger. And it's a problem because a bigger car, if it's
you don't see the children
higher,
anymore.
Your vision is worse. If there's an accident, it's heavier. So the accident is worse. It takes more time to stop because it's a strong vehicle. It takes
more
space for parking. So there's this international... And as a small Brussels, we will not change this international tendency that also comes from the United States. You have these big pickup trucks, and I often think you need a big ego if you need a big pickup truck to transport one person. If you're doing lumber works in the woods, I can understand you need it. But to get around in Brussels, really use a small, clean car, and that's much better. So we have now, I've asked my administration to make a study and make a comparison to see what's working, because many cities are tackling it by taxing or by increasing the parking prices. So I've asked my administration now to prepare a study and to say, okay, what is happening where? What can we do? And which are the most effective measurements? And so there will be a new government in a few months, so that at that time, there's a menu and say, okay, these are the options, and that we can implement the options, because we really need to encourage people. There will always be cars. Some people really need their car. Yeah. But to encourage people to have smaller cars and clean cars is really